From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
It's frickin' freezing in here. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're gonna talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, today, this morning, afternoon, don't know. It's Tuesday, March 27th, 2012.
Technically, it is not yet afternoon. It's certainly in our time zone.
It hardly matters to all of you out there, so...
This is true. This is show 126-er.
And it's starting to drop. It's happening. It's Paul and Storm amalgamated. The machine is chugging. It is chugging.
It is. The machine is chugging. Oh, man. I just did a thing. I don't know if this ever occurs to you, either you, Storm, or you people at home, where... sorry, I got chills. my teeth. I did a weird thing where my teeth scraped against each other. In just such a weird way that it totally oogs me out.
Yeah.
Oh, I still got it. Oh, it's like an ongoing chills thing. Ah!
You need some gum or a toast. You need toast in your teeth, man.
I need toast in my teeth.
Like,
that,
you know,
is an early front runner for the title of this episode.
Well, just something to like.
Oh, man.
So like
so
gum.
Unsettling.
Now it's ooging me out. Like I know that feeling.
It's a virus. Mm-hmm.
Like you don't need gum because that could make it worse. You need something that you can literally. Like Han Solo and Carbonite, you know, where it will lock them in place. There's no friction.
I need a whole bunch of bread.
Yes.
A bunch of moist bread. Yes. I need a loaf of bread in my mouth.
The problem is your mouth has become a subduction zone.
Mm-hmm.
And one likes
I'm
that.
I'm slowly getting over it.
Yeah.
Yes, as we were saying, one of the numerous things that for a very, very, very long time was one of those cool things are happening, we can't tell you about them deals that we like to talk about so much on the podcast is finally allowed to be spoken of, at least to some degree. That, of course, being the Paul and Storm web series that we are working on called Learning Town. Storm, talk about it.
All right. It is on Felicia Day's Geek and Sundry channel,
The YouTubes.
That's right. Produced by our good friend, the very talented Kim Evie. And it is pretty much a web musical. It's not a webicle. Don't call it that.
No, dear God, no. I will come and personally kick you in the stomach if you call it a webicle.
That's like a webinar, and that's bullshit as well.
Yes.
As you can guess, it features Mrs. Paul and Storm playing fictionalized versions of ourself. I think we can say that much.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say, like, the log line of the show, because we've got a preview teaser video out there. But as we haven't filmed any of the show yet, we obviously couldn't show any footage. But I think it is probably safe to say that the basic concept of the show is a slightly fictionalized version of Paul and Storm semi-reluctantly inherit an old beloved children's show.
Sort of like a cross between a Mr. Rogers and a Captain Kangaroo, kind of all of them put together into one. Very old-fashioned.
Yeah, and the hijinks that ensue when said inheritance happens.
Yeah, and it pretty much is, I know right now you're imagining, well, yeah, of course, it would be awesome for that to actually happen in real life, but no one is actually fool enough to hand us a children's show. but we are most of the way through writing it with another talented friend of ours, Josh A. Kagan,
yes,
to be precise.
From the internet.
That's right. And a genuine for trues Hollywood writer.
He's got his douchebag membership card.
Yep.
Though he does not wear a douchey hat, nor does he wear like a vest over a white shirt.
No, he doesn't. He's the Kagan that proves the rule. So
yes,
you know that it doesn't have to be that way. What's that, Paul?
Yes. I was going to say that we're also burying the lead that the show is also going to co-star. I'm more excited about this than anything else. The series co-stars Mo Tancher Owen.
Yep.
Also known as one of the co-creators of Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
And we pretty much wrote her character for her. Like,
yeah,
had her in mind for it, and I think it's too much to say much about the characters at this point, but
let's leave that mystery because it might change between now and the end of the year when this thing finally comes out.
So please, if you haven't seen it already, go to Geek and Sundry. If you just Google Geek and Sundry, the channel will come up. There are also some real, I feel like such a shill right now, but I honestly,
no, that's what we got to do, man. You got to pay the bills.
Well, but that's the thing, is that some of the other shows, I'm actually genuinely excited about everything on the channel, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And also the Nerdist channel, which we have no part in. It's just this cool time to be in the internet content business.
Yeah, totally. But the best thing you can do right now, as Storm was starting to say, is go find the Geek and Sundry channel on YouTube and then subscribe to it. Because, for example, our longtime companion Will Wheaton has a show on the same channel that comes out next month,
yep,
called Tabletop, which is sort of like Celebrity Poker Showdown meets nerds playing role-playing games and board games. And we are guests on one of the shows. We're not allowed to say what game we played, and we're not positive when our particular episode comes out. But the show itself starts in April, I believe.
Yes, and maybe April 1st, but certainly very well. That's like coming up. My gosh, that's upon us. And
well, you know, if you went to Geek and Sundry, you could find that fact out rather than us having to guess
go there
it for you.
And do watch the trailer. Please do comment about us. We like that kind of thing. And you know, when it comes out later in the year, it's going to be awesome. And you are the first to know. So
you're on the vanguard as listeners to our podcast.
Yeah. You're not Webical early adopters. That's what you are.
So there's that. So that's that shill portion out of the way. What else is going on? Ticket sales for, Wootstock in San Diego continue apace.
Yes.
We're really looking forward to that, even though it's still like 4 months away.
Yeah, it is an obsession.
Let's get the rest of the plugging out of the way.
Yeah, getting ready to do PAX East in Boston coming up, which is home. It's whether it's PAX East or PAX Prime, just the
we
gamer.
We have homes on the East and West Coast because we're famous rock stars, so.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty rocky right now, you know?
Yeah, that's the beauty of PAX. We have great fans and we travel all over the place, but PAX is one of the few places where we feel sort of genuinely like rock stars for a weekend.
Yeah.
But, you know, being able to stand on a stage in front of several thousand people is an experience I wish all of you could enjoy the way we've been able to over the past couple of years. But every year we look forward to going to both PAXes. So we're very psyched about that. We'll have a new shirt coming for that. That's an upcoming secret.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we do some not talking about ourselves a little bit?
Let's get this last thing in and out of the way. And that is the fact that news is imminent for Joko Cruise Crazy 3.
Big news. Big news. We've been working our butts off preparing for, we thought, oh good, the cruise is over, at last we can rest. No, wrong.
No
80
rest
hour weeks
for the wicked. But and we wish we could be more specific than that, but we can't really, because we wouldn't want to tell you a thing that is wrong other than news is imminent. So watch this space, and when I say this space, I'm pointing to the internet.
We're about to be extraordinarily detailed in our information, so you can wait. So that's all that out of the way. I've got some random stuff. I've got some things that are semi-topical. What's Fisher wish, Paul Suborn?
Hit me with whatever you think is the best topic, and then I will tell you whether or not it was the best.
Well, there's one that I alerted you of a while ago to think of in the back of your brainy brain that might be interesting. And that bears no relation to anything other than the fact that we have been writing material again.
Seeing as I cannot remember what the hell it was, let's go with that.
perfect. And perfect is the word. The topic and the subject and the idea is perfect songs.
Oh, right.
Basically, it is my belief that, perfection is unattainable, all right?
Right.
We're not here to debate that today. Some people say, no, there is a perfect. That said, I believe that there is a threshold for music, produced music, at which point you can say, yes, that is a perfect song, that all the decisions that were made were the right ones. And even though everything in the song might not to be everyone's tastes, that if you are a fan of a certain genre of music, that people that like that genre would agree. And I will posit an example or two. One that part of the gauge for me is when you listen to it, that there's never a moment when you say, get through this part. Like, it engages you all the way. And for me, the songs that do that the most tend to be up-tempo songs. That's kind of my thing. Happy songs, energy songs. So an example for me of a perfect song is Sir Duke.
Yep.
By Stevie Wonder.
It's pretty goddamn great.
From the first horn blast until the very end, it just tickles. It lights up the brain. And even though there are some lyrics that are kind of clunky, it doesn't matter. Like, for that song, it just works. It all works together.
It's the truth.
So
it is the truth.
My theory du jour.
You will hear no argument from me on that stretch. I will counter posit. It's a bit of a cliche, maybe a bit of an obvious choice, but I think Paradise by the Dashboard Light by Meatloaf is another example of a perfect song. And the reason I maintain its perfection is because it is long without being too long. Because I love a song that manages to maintain over a length that you would not normally think it should maintain. And the counterexample I give is Bat Outta Hell off the same album.
Yep.
Because Paradise by the Dashboard Light is about a 5.5-6 minute song.
Yeah.
And there's just no fat on that song. Everything fits and is appropriate. And as you say, like, every musical choice, every time they came to a spot for a musical choice, whether it be the melody or let's have a guitar solo here, or this is the person we should have sing the female lead on this song, every choice was right. Whereas Bat Out of Hell is a 10-minute song that is 5 minutes too long.
Yep.
And even though each individual portion is fun and stuff, it just sort of, it was a swing at the same pitch, and for some reason that one just did not connect nearly as, you know, Bat Out of Hell is like a standing double, whereas... Paradise by the Dashboard Light is just absolutely a grand slam, like a ninth inning, two out, 3-2 count grand slam.
I totally agree. And I think that what it hinges on is that in Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, it's always driving forward. It's like a roller coaster, like a speed roller coaster, you know, that just keeps going forward. Sure, it goes over a hill, then another hill, but it changes things up. Whereas Bat Out of Hell, it sort of turns back in on itself, and you're like, oh, we're back here again? Why are we back here? What are we doing here? It doesn't mean that much more. I know what they're going for. So no need to beat that dead horse. It's a great song, but it's not perfect.
Paradise by the Dashboard Light is the perfect amount of overwrought.
In a similar way, one of my very favorite songs, and I would argue is a perfect song, is Mr. Blue Sky by ELO, Electric Light Orchestra. Also, a long song, but doing little things to notch it up, which brings me to the next step in the chain, which is even more rare. Like, I feel like the production of the song, like the instruments they use, and like, you could do a live version of the same song and it wouldn't be perfect. Like, I've never heard a live version of Sir Duke, but I imagine it wouldn't elicit that same feeling. It's all those little things together. But I believe that there are songs that transcend that, and it really just comes down to the melody, that you could just sing it without any instrumentation whatsoever, and it's perfect. And I have two songs that leap to mind for that.
Okay.
One is Yesterday. That song.
Oh, you mean Scrambled Eggs?
Scrambled Eggs. That's right. Even as Scrambled Eggs, it would sustain. But when you put exactly those words with exactly that melody, it just touches off something in the brain. And I have a theory about that, too, which I just remembered. And the other one is Happy Birthday. It's phenomenal that you can hear that song, and it's so universal. Are you ready for the really stupid theory?
I am ready for the stupid theory.
Which I may have run by you at 2 a.m. in the car one night.
Okay.
But our brains are electromechanical machines, basically. All right, you with me so far? Right.
I'm with you so far.
And there are frequencies that on the electrical mechanical spectrum that are in play. I know this sounds bullshit and non-sophisticated, because it is, because I'm not a neuroscientist. and that music also has these waves. And it was a very simple way of saying it's picking up vibes, but that there are certain sounds, these complex sets of waves that match triggers in your brain that are happening. So that if you hear this, it's the same pattern as something in your brain that might say, okay, when this
like
chemical
matches the pattern for cookies, like cookies release a certain endorphin or whatever, and it somehow triggers the cookie synapses.
But not everybody has those same patterns in their brain, so not all music is going to hit everybody. But if your brain happens to have those patterns, and I'm not saying that they're intrinsically there, it could be learned. Who knows? It's the brain. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But that those perfect songs, your brain, for whatever reason, just keys into it. So I'm quitting music, and I'm going into neuroscience to investigate this.
Good luck with that.
Sure.
Okay. Now, speaking on the same topic, let's get into some slightly more. It's sort of a related topic, if not the same one, because we have had this discussion regularly, and you hinted at it earlier, talking about there are songs that may not be your personal bag of cookies, shall we say. But you can maintain a certain respect for them.
Oh, I've got that.
And my go-to example for that one with you certainly is "Bring Me to Life" by Evanescence.
Yes, that popped right to mind.
Yeah, which, you know, you have no love of Evanescence, and I have very little love of Evanescence because they are, you know, they're bullshit and they're overwrought, and all of that. But there is I feel that song "Bring Me to Life" for some reason. While it is incredibly calculated. It is so wonderfully crafted in its calculation. Like, I can have nothing but respect for it. Kind of like, like really ugly architecture that's still very well built. Like, you know, like sure. like a concrete bunker. It may not be pretty, but you respect the engineering that went into it, that it's going to hold up forever.
Evanescence will keep bombs off of you, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's laudable. See, for me, I totally agree, and I have the same feeling about it. But I put them in the same category as Creed, you know? Like, say what you will about Creed, they know how to deliver their thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's effective, but... You know, to me, it comes across as calculated, maybe because my jugga-jugga brain patterns don't respond to that.
It could be that they're kicking off the rice cake synapses in you instead of the snickerdoodle synapses. Snickerdoodle synapses is front runner right there for podcast title now.
Maybe rice cakes are my snickerdoodle. They're not. They're not. But
they
could be.
So totally not. Okay, I have a topic, and while it is ostensibly about us or me, I think it applies widely enough that it's worthy.
Let's talk about you, Paul.
Let's talk about me, because I've had enough of your bullshit neuroscience theories.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this, I've been meaning to talk about this for a while. In my house, this subject has come out. I live with all females, basically. It's me and my wife and my two daughters.
Yeah.
So I have that is my frame of reference. And what I wish to speak on is what is the word I'm looking for? Hygiene habits.
Okay.
Specifically, I come out of the shower.
Right.
When I am done showering, and I will towel myself off.
Sure.
And then, while still naked,
all right,
I will proceed immediately to dry my hair.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm so with you. Okay.
Yes. My wife and children thinks that is both hilarious and weird.
Wait, what?
That I would do that. Like, they
really?
Always, you know, partly, you know, certainly to some extent, it has to do with the fact that they have longer hair. And so it takes longer to dry and style their hair, and they're ladies, and they have different lady habits for styling their, you know, my personal hair drying regimen is not exactly rigorous. It usually involves about a minute to a minute and a half of blowing a hair dryer at me. And the other reason I do it while naked, mm-hmm, is because no matter how well you towel yourself off, there are still going to be sort of like, you know, moist areas here and there.
Sure.
Or more to the point, you know, you really have to work hard toweling yourself off to
you gotta air dry a little
bit. Yourself off. So you air dry a little bit, and I just help that process along because you also don't want to, you know, walk out into the bedroom, which is cold,
mm-hmm,
and then go put on some clothes and feel that awful, awful, awful feeling of,
oh no, it's with you.
Oh, there's a wet spot in the center of my back.
No, it's with you all day, all day.
Yeah, exactly. So I use the hair dryer while, you know, in my process before I start to dry my hair, I will usually sort of use the hair dryer to help the air dry process along a little
bit.
And then I get out of the bathroom, my hair is dry, my body is no longer damp anywhere, and I can put on my clothes without fear of oogness.
You
That's
seem like
the fourth time we've used the oogie word.
A perfectly rational individual here, Paul.
Yeah, I know. But the remainder of my family thinks that is just the silliest thing to, and it is a source of much, well, it's not like we talk about it constantly, but it's a source of semi-regular derision in my house that I dry my hair naked in the bathroom post shower. So I am asking, well, I know where you stand on it now. So I am asking our listening public, maybe we'll put up a poll to see what your habits are, and or at least if you think it is weird of people like us to not get dressed before finishing our morning ablutions. Oh, Storm has just accidentally shut off what I would imagine is his Pro Tools. So he is no longer recording at this particular moment. He's not recording right now, but he's going back. He is recording again. We've lost a couple of seconds of Storm.
And four.
And here come his numbers.
And three.
His countdown, which I am refusing to count with him just because I am contrarian like that.
Five. Well, you're the guy syncing it up. So
that's okay. I can do it. You just say a thing, and I will know.
We're back.
And he's back.
We're totally back.
He's totally back. See,
we're totally
and now
back.
I will find the timing back. What did you hit something with your elbow or?
Yeah. I record this on my MacBook Pro with a touchpad. And
oh, well, your awful, awful bullshit, super sensitive touchpad.
It's actually kind of awesome, but in this, for instance, it can be problematic if I'm not paying attention because I'm excited about toweling and moistures and stuff.
Yeah, well, any talk of moisture and naked bodies will get you all hot and get one all hot and bothered.
I will walk around the house naked all day, you know, if it's warm enough. So.
I didn't need to know that.
Especially after the shower. Oh, yeah, I don't care. Like, I'll go down to the grocery store and be like, hey, what's up? You know, just drying
it's
off.
Old naked Storm from the neighborhood.
They know me. They're just like that naked guy. And, you know, people think it's fun. And
mm-hmm.
Not really. They think it's a little creepy.
So good.
Anyway.
I'm glad I've got that topic off my chest. So we'll see how people respond in the comments and or if we do a poll or something.
Yeah, I think we should put that up as a poll, and also perfect songs. Like, I think there's a lot of audience participation opportunity here today.
Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah. There's going to be all kinds of emails and stuff.
Yeah. You know what? I've got other topics written down, but I feel like we've done so much good today already, and that these can be
saved.
We have
done a lot of good. We spent, you know, the first third of the show talking about ourselves, but then we had some lovely, lovely topics of conversation.
Oh, I want to call back something just because.
Go ahead.
I've forgotten to do it for the past few podcasts.
Star 69 that shit.
I want you to get excited about space. I do. There are exciting things happening with.
There totally are.
In space. and the prospects of going to space.
There's
are
kind
getting
of a lot
closer.
Of space.
What's that?
There's kind of a lot of space, so one would think there'd be plenty of the vast, vast majority of interesting, exciting things would happen in space.
Exactly, and we can get as excited as we want. There will still be space for it. And the prospects of actually in our lifetimes, maybe in the next 5 years, if you have $200,000 on you, you can just go. So get excited about that. We need to get excited about space. That's all I wanted to say right now.
Okay. I didn't know if there was a specific space thing you wanted us to get excited about, or you're just generally trying to bang the space drum, as it were.
Well, there's the I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, but the whole thing about some old Roman dude, I don't remember who it was, maybe Cato. Let's go with Cato.
Cato Romanus.
Who would close out each session of the Senate or the whatever it was. I'm not
big
on Roman.
The Roman meeting thing.
The Roman meeting thing where they decided important things and went, blah, 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 we're going to be Rome over here for a while. But would close out every session with Carthage must be destroyed. But he said it in Latin because that's what they spoke back then. And that eventually, and at the time when he first started saying it, was like, what? Why Carthage? It's got nothing to do with nothing. But eventually he said it enough that people took it as truth and they knocked the snot out of Carthage. I think maybe Carthage got them. I don't know. Cause I was horrible when it came to Roman history. So I'm hoping the same thing can be accomplished. Get excited about space.
Okay. Well, so we are so tasked. Let's see. I have to bring up our schedule because I don't have it at my fingertips yet. So why don't you make some noise for about 6 seconds?
Sure. While you're doing that, do go to paulandstorm.com, not only to find out about all this stuff and more, but to join the Brigade of Minions. I know that our podcast has been sporadic lately. If you are a new listener, perhaps in the wake of Joko Cruise Crazy 2, check it out. You can march on us, much like the Romans possibly marched on Carthage, if I got my facts remotely correct. It's possible, but join the Brigade of Minions. It's very simple to do and is effective.
Do that.
It's
damn
effective.
It.
It's an effective thing to do. Do you have the information?
I totally do. So this coming weekend, we're going to be at the World FARC Party 2 in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's going to be fun. We did that last year. I'm going to return to the site of my big third place finish in the FARC poker tournament to see if it was a fluke, which it was. And then, as Storm mentioned, the weekend of April 6th, 7th, 8th, Easter weekend, we are at PAX East in Boston. Tickets are pretty much sold out at this point, I think. But we're in the Saturday night concert. If you're going to be there, we'd love to see you. We'll also be at the Bandland merchandise selling area pretty much all weekend as well. Would love to see you there. We're working on a bunch of stuff for the spring and summer. Also, and I'm trying to find the date on it. Oh, come on. We're going to be at Nerdtacular.
Yeah.
In Salt Lake City. And I am still trying to find the date for it. It's going to be in June. I know that. If you go to nerdtacular.com, you can find that. It's going to be a very fun time. We've been meaning to go to that for quite a while. And now we are going to go to it. Yay. And then, of course, Woodstock 4.0. July 12th, Balboa Theater, San Diego, California, the weekend of Comic-Con. And that's going to be a grand time had by all.
Yeah. If that's what there is to be said.
And it is.
Then I'm Storm.
And I'm Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On boogity boogity shoot.
Go do things.